All right. Oh, look at that. Revelation.
Yeah.
Revelation chapter 21. All right, we're coming to the conclusion. We're into the good stuff now, the fun stuff. We're going to get the trophy, that kind of stuff. Cutting the nets down if you watched the game last night. Okay, so as we kind of work towards wrapping the book of Revelation up, which feels like we've been studying for a very long time, Revelation 21 and 22 provide a picture for the future God has planned for believers. And it's one of the only, there's no better picture than these two chapters of what heaven will be like. And so pretty fun to go through these things. And so as we go through these chapters, we are going to see seven new things. Seven things that will be new to us. So this is both chapter 21 and 22. So there's a new heaven, there's a new earth, a new Jerusalem, there's new things, a new paradise, a new place for God's throne, and a new source of light. So those are some of the things we're going to look at over the next few weeks as we wrap up the book of Revelation. So we're going to read Revelation chapter 21, starting in verse 1. We're going to do 1 through 8 today. So Revelation 21, 1 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.'" Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Said everybody that's in pain. "And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death.'" Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the book of Revelation. We pray that our hearts and minds are ready to receive what you have for us through the scriptures today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so starting in verse 1, he sees a new heaven. And so when we look at this and we look at the words that are used, as all of these things happen, and we're going to move through it piece by piece, but there's going to be basically like a new atmosphere. It's the same word for heaven that's used in Genesis chapter 1, when God creates the heavens and the earth. And so what we would understand here is all things are going to be new. We're going to have a new atmosphere, essentially, a new, you know, the word heaven, we attribute it to several different things depending on what word is used. And so this is going to be basically the atmosphere around us. So all things will be new, fresh, free from the seed of sin that has impacted this world, and it's going to be fresh and new. And it's just going to be a whole new thing. It says that there's going to be no sea, which today's world is largely covered by oceans and water. And so when we look at that, we go, okay, well, so everything is going to be much different than what we know it as today. You know, the water source, we'll learn later, is going to come directly from within the city. And so everything is just going to be very different. New, fresh, clean. That new car smell.
Maybe better.
It says the first heaven and the first earth will pass away. In chapter 20, this is talked about with the great white throne, that the earth and the sky fled away and no place was found for them. And so when we begin looking at this, a lot of the scholars, they go to 2 Peter chapter 3 for explanation of what is taking place during this time period. So I just want to read to you 2 Peter 3, verses 3 through 11. And this is what it says. It says, "Knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires." And we know we see this today. "They will say, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. And that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished.'" So the flood came, wiped everything away. "But the same word, the heavens and earth, by that same word, the heavens and the earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly," which is what we just read about in chapter 20 that took place with the great white throne judgment. And then it says, verse 8, "But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that the Lord one day, but with the Lord, man, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." So God's patient towards us. He wants everyone to come into right relationship with him. Verse 10, "The day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed." So these are the critical verses. That's verse 10, verse 11. "Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." So we can think about it this way. The old is going to pass away. Everything we know that we've experienced here on earth, hunger, sickness, sin, demonic influence, spiritual attacks, anger, wrath, the list goes on and on and on. Pain, suffering. In the new heaven and new earth, all from this world will not have a place. Satan and his minions will have been bound. And we know that he is the ruler of this place where we are now. And that in the space around us is where Satan and his demons take their residence. And so the atmosphere fear of this world, there won't be a place for all of the things that this world contains in the new heaven and the new earth. All the things we experience will be new. And so what is trying to be conveyed to us and communicated to us is, if we're going to go into a place that is, as we will read further in Revelation, the light is going to come from the presence of God. God is going to dwell in the midst of that place. We will be there with him. There's no place for all of this other stuff. And there's a couple of ways to get rid of things. And the way that we purify things is through fire. And it says all of these things will be fled away or will flee from his presence. And we don't know, there's not a lot of description as to what that exactly is going to look like. Peter talks about fire being dissolved. The heavenly bodies will melt as they burn, and all of that stuff is going to be gone. And then this new thing. And kind of grasping that is maybe sometimes a difficult concept for us, because we go, man, what is that going to... I can't even picture that. I can't understand that. I can't... And I don't think we're supposed to. If we could understand it and we could grasp it and we could explain it, the awe of it would certainly diminish. But God is going to create for our heavenly dwelling, our eternal place to be, something new and amazing. Verse 2 says, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And we know when Jesus was getting ready to ascend into heaven, he said, I have to go and prepare a place for you. And we know the imagery there with the Jewish wedding ceremony and all the things that take place. And in the midst of this new Jerusalem catches John's attention as it comes out of heaven. So much so that it says in verse 3, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain, for the former things have passed away. So this is the last time, in verse 3 it says a loud voice or a great voice, depending on your translation. This is the last time that phrase is going to be used in the book of Revelation. It's been used, this is the 21st time. So it was used 21 times in the book of Revelation, and this is the final time we're going to see that phrase. It says the dwelling place of God or the tabernacle of God. So in the Old Testament, they had the tabernacle and they put it up out in the desert, and that's where the presence of God dwelt, was in the tabernacle. In the New Jerusalem, the tent's not going to be in the desert. The tabernacle isn't going to be out there. It says that God is going to dwell among the people. He'll be present in the new earth and the New Jerusalem. It says he will wipe every tear from their eyes. And so sometimes this is where people will start talking about, oh, we're going to be sad because, we're going to recognize that Billy's not there or Susie didn't make it, or we're regretful for all the things we coulda, shoulda, woulda. That is not what this is talking about. What this is talking about is the intent behind this is we are going to exist in the comfort of God, in the presence of God. He's going to wipe every tear is supposed to be drawing us to this place where his presence is everything around us. We're existing within the comfort of the presence of God, and there will be no more tears. And when you just think about, it's Tuesday, so what have you experienced since Sunday after church? Oh, yeah, I don't want to deal with any of that. That'd be great. And it's just a place of peace. He's going to be a preacher. So the former things have passed away. The grief, the loss, the mourning, those things are no more. That sounds pretty good. Verse 5 says, "And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this down.'" In other words, pay attention, John. "For these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment.'" So the voice speaks, "Behold." Look. Behold means look or to see. The word make, to form or construct, commonly used in the New Testament for a work of accomplishment. So look at this, see this. I made this all new. And John must be astonished at the things he's seeing, because it says, "Write this down. Pay attention. Come back. Focus. Write these words down. These are trustworthy and true." It is done. The drama of all human history is complete. Not that God is done. The work of our eternal state is just beginning. And God is going to be there present with us. But the current state that we know, that we exist in, is going to be finished and complete. And that's a good thing. When you have a task or a job or a project, when you drive that last nail, you paint that last part of the wall, and you can step back and you go, "It's done." It feels good. And when we complete this and we step into that moment, it's going to be a good thing. Refers to the Alpha and the Omega, and we know Christ is referred to as the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Author uses the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet to describe the eternal and all-encompassing nature of God. Who God is, he's the beginning and the end of all things, which is a powerful thing. You know, we are walking in our day-to-day lives and experiencing the various things that come at us on a day-to-day basis. To be able to learn to rest in the confidence of who God is, and these passages are describing him in a awe-inspiring way, should bring us peace in our day-to-day life. Verse 6 also brings the first of three promises. The water of life is promised in abundance to the one who is thirsty. This is a reference to the abundant character of eternal life and the blessing that will flow from it. "To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment." There is an abundance coming that we will experience. Verse 7 says, "The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexual,